Salwate discipuli and salwate omnes. Welcome again to another episode of Latin in Layman's. Happy New Year. We're into the new year. It is currently January 6th as I record this episode, and I know it has been a little bit, and I'm back at it as per the usual, just taking little hiatuses here and there. Hiate, if you will, right? Because us is the nominative singular in the second declension, masculine. I with an pronounced E would be actually the plural. So, I don't know, but according to, if you were to, you know, do it through Latin grammar, hiatus, the plural would be hiati. Then I think about octopus. Would it be octopi? Maybe. That's where it comes from, actually, is because octopus, masculine, nominative, singular. Octopi, nominative, plural, right, with that E. A.K.A. I. Ramble already off the get-go. Hey, it's me. I'm back. You know me. There isn't a podcast without a ramble-bamble. If you don't know, you don't know. Or if you know, you know. Okay, I'm on a one-off right now. I'm going to shut up. We're going to get into this because what we're doing is a bunch of questions that my audience members, supporters, have asked me. And I wanted to go ahead and do kind of like a New Year's dealio where I just answered some questions, interacted with my homie G's, the people that I love that support me. And all that good stuff. You guys know my gripes with TikTok. You guys know my gripes with just about everything in this social media day and age. But you know what? I appreciate those that take in my content and extrapolate some information from it, as well as understanding that it takes me a bit. It's an arm and a leg sometimes. It's effort. It's things. I mean, hey, I don't know. I'm not trying to flex or anything like that, but do you work full-time/overtime all the time while also trying to head a podcast, while also private tutoring on the side, while also doing TikTok and videos and lecture videos to try and help teach audience members? No. You don't. Maybe you do. Congratulations. That's amazing. We're all trying to make our way through this world. But hey, you know what? I think I need to be proud of myself. I think I need to humble brag a little bit. Because you know what? I don't think you're doing what I'm doing. Because I'm doing a lot right now. And if you can support me in any way, shape, or form, I would really, really appreciate it. I have a Ko-Fi. I have a Patreon. Why have you not gone over and supported me already? If you have asked a question on here and you have not gone and supported me, I really don't know why. In fact, I don't know why I'm answering your question if you haven't supported me, at least a little financially. I mean, I'm asking for maybe a tip. A Ko-Fi literally is giving a tip to someone that is putting an arm and a leg out there for the amount of effort that they put outside of the actual jobs that they actually have to do on the day-to-day. Maybe you don't have to do a job. Maybe your life is creme de la creme. I'm not trying to throw shade at you or anything like that, but I think I'm trying to show you guys really right now that I'm getting frustrated that nobody is actually supporting me financially on this stuff. Why are you not doing that? At this point, if you're following me and you haven't even thrown at least like a dollar my way, what the heck? Like for real though. And if I answer your question and you still don't, you're not going to get another answer. Sorry. I'm getting to this point now where I need to be a little bit more seen for the hard work that I do. And you know what? I appreciate that you hear me and you understand and you see me and that you don't actually just like turn on my TikToks, watch them for 5 seconds, comment on some silly aspect of me rather than actually inputting the content that I'm trying to teach you. I love that you guys are here for anything and everything, but at the end of the day right now, I'm trying to make moves in this world. And if you guys want to support me, throw a little patronage my way. This is the first time I've actually done it like this. I never asked for money, but now you know what? I realize I'm worth it. And if you don't think I'm worth it, you can stop following me or something like that. I don't know. I don't care. But with that being said, I'm going to answer some questions. We're going to get deep. We're going to get visceral. And I'm going to let you guys know who I am a little bit more deeper. We're into the new year. I'm a real person. That's why I've got my real audience members to follow me. If you're not real, don't follow me. If you don't like what I have to say, don't follow me. That's the beautiful thing about the internet, is that if you don't like certain content, you don't have to watch it. And if you're watching it or listening to it and you still don't like it and you're just watching it to be a troll and to comment and or to, I don't know, do your whole dealio, whatever, then you're wasting your time and your energy in your life. I love you guys. With that being said, let's get into these questions. And thanks again. One of my very loyal and OG supporters, Chloe Chanel, I believe is how I would pronounce your last name. She slid into my, because we're friends on Instagram as well, asked me a few questions because, Chloe, I just want to say, shout you out. Thank you so much for appreciating my last little podcast. It was just kind of a one-off. I was just thinking about a lot of different things. The coming of a new year, the heading of a new year, makes you really reflect. Sometimes I hate using the new year as a means of, you know, changing the trajectory and course of something with just a date, but you know, sometimes we do need that. I've often been jaded by it in the past because, you know, working as a physical therapy assistant and seeing all these things within, you know, fitness and that kind of stuff in general, you know, the new year is always a means of people going into the gym to change their body because they hate the way they look. They hate their body. They hate the amount of weight they've gained over break. It all is coming from a place of self-loathing and kind of just like you want to punish yourself. I wish we could reframe it where at the coming of the new year, people were like, you know what? I haven't really been taking really good care of my body. I haven't really been taking good care of my soul. I've been dissociating from those things and thinking about other things. I've been all in on one thing and really neglecting my health, physical, mental, emotional. Maybe vice versa. Maybe you haven't been putting a lot of work into your work and effort. Maybe you've been slacking. Maybe you've been half-assing it, ASSing it. I'm not going to call it explicit. I don't think ASS is a bad word, but I don't think half-A-ing it sounds fairly good. So I don't know. It's a point to reflect. But with that, Chloe, I just want to say thank you so much for appreciating that little tidbit. Because really, I don't know why. But I just was feeling a little feelsy. So with your first question, are there any books you plan on reading this year? I unfortunately don't have any on the docket right now. As of the 6th of January, I don't. I would love recommendations. Please, anybody. I'm not the biggest romance person. I am sorry. I don't like having a lot of romance. Don't at me because I've read plenty of my romance novels in the past. Like, yo, your boy has gotten deep into D.H. Lawrence. Lady Chatterley's Lover. You ever read that? Well, you know what? Great book. But I've done my whole romance stuff. I'm not really into it right now. No, I don't want to do that. I want some sci-fi. I want some fantasy. I want some cool immersive worlds, if you will. Also, classical kind of stuff. Mythologies. Anything that kind of correlates with Roman antiquity. I was thinking about actually reading a book, Agrippina. I forget the name, but it's a historical context on Agrippina. It's a really great one, as well as maybe some Julius Caesar's or whatever. I don't know. But it would be really great to have some suggestions because I have none right now. Secondly, what's a hobby that you would like to do? What is a hobby that you would like to do during your downtime that... I'm sorry, Chloe. I'm going to have to redo this in my head because I think there's a word missing here. What's a hobby that you would like to do during your downtime that you would like to start this year? Biking more, having the energy to bike more again, cycle more. I'm a big avid cyclist, but right now with, you know, you guys know me and how I've talked about school and stuff like that, it's really left me just kind of a shell of myself, and I'm really kind of grasping back at it. Shout out to all those that commented on my little meme of a picture where I was getting a CT scan and stuff like that. Wasn't trying to like make anybody worried or anything like that, but I don't know. I just took a picture. But yeah, I'm going through some things and I'm continually going through things and I'm trying to figure them out. And I'm very, very much more proactive than I have in the past right now, especially last semester. Last semester, I felt like I had gone so all in with work that everything else kind of went to the wayside. And that's what happens with me a lot of the time, is that when I am very proud of what I'm doing, when I am really, really invested in what I'm doing, lecture videos, TikTok, YouTube, my school, my middle school kids, my high school kids, my job as a Latin teacher, I am trying to do my job. And sometimes I go in with all my job and it leaves me a martyr to my job. If you know, you know. And if you don't, then you don't. That being said, cycling, Chloe. Absolutely 100%. I'm going to touch on these really quickly, Chloe, but I don't want to answer all these because, I got time that I need to get to other questions here, and I don't want to make this into a 2-hour long podcast or anything. Number three, I wanted to ask you, are you into the R&B genre at all? I know you mentioned Brent Faiyaz in the past, which makes me very happy because I tend to listen to lots of songs in that genre as well. And if you're looking to hear any other artists of that genre, let me know so I can put you on. Please do so. I love that R&B genre. Rhythm and blues is what it stands for, in fact. I learned from a poetry major friend of mine that rap actually stands for rhythm and poetry, which makes a lot of sense, right? And then R&B is rhythm and blues, right? Because it's kind of got that bluesy aspect to it as well, and very rhythmic. Ever since I was introduced to Frank Ocean back in the day, shout out Novocaine, one of my very favorite songs of all time, as well as other ones by him. But please definitely do so. Yeah, Brent Faiyaz I found him back during COVID actually in 2020. And super smooth guy, super smooth. And then number four. Okay, all right, I'll do this last one. And it says, I didn't really see, I haven't gone over any of these questions yet. So what personality qualities do you like in a potential future partner? And then she prefaces this with, if this cue is too personal, there's no pressure to answer. It's all good. Personal qualities, tenderness, kindness, understanding. Intellectual. I want to be able to talk with my homie G. I want to talk with my partner in crime about anything and everything. I want her to have a good mind, you know, so that, like I always say, looks fade, but dumb is forever. It really is. Dumb is forever. Intellectuality is so hot, in my opinion, right? Deep conversations, getting deep. I always warn people, yo, if you're around me, stay tuned because I might be randomly etymologizing words in the wild here. So, sorry, not sorry. Potential, you know, qualities would also be in terms of personality. Yeah, understanding, meeting me where I'm at, understanding that a relationship isn't a 50-50 thing. It's not a 100-100 thing. It's a, I'm going to meet you where you at, and I'm going to sub in whatever you can't sub in, because that's what a team is, and that's what I want in a partner, is a teammate, somebody to collaborate with, to work with, because love is an action, like I always say, right? Love, amo amare in Latin, to love. The action, it can also be a noun, amor, amoris, the third declension noun, which is love. To be in love versus to actively seek out love and or to be embedded in love, which is a continual thing that waxes and wanes. It gets tired. It gets untired. It gets fortified. Gets calloused. Sometimes you find out that it's not the right love. I don't know. With that being said, thank you so much, Chloe. Love those questions to the nth degree. Love your support. Consider what I said at the beginning of this episode. Thank you very much. Next question that we're going to get into now, pulling them up here. Rixa93 asks, any advice on coping with grief? And I'm sorry if this is too deep or anything. I'm not a professional. I'm not a psychotherapist. I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a person that has been the best with dealing with grief. Because grief is just an iteration of another emotion that is individual to a person. I'm sorry. Maybe that's not the answer that you want to hear, but grief comes in waves. It'll come in bouts of tears when a certain song comes on. When you're driving in the car and you turn on the radio and all of a sudden you're transported back to that one moment with that one person or one animal or one thing. We can grieve over things as well, experiences, events, friends. Waxes and wanes. Grief is one of those things where you feel like it'll never stop. And that's what I always have to remind myself and ourselves, is that grief is not forever. It's hard to think that, but then think about, are you always happy forever? No, especially if you're grieving right now. You can't be also grieving and actively happy at the same time. Maybe you can. That sounds kind of dichotomous, but maybe. Thank you so much, Rixa. Next question here. The head wacho. My man. We communicate a lot. Rock and awesome guy. He actually recommended that I start a Depop account. And because of that, I have started a Depop. So if any of you guys are curious about like what I wear and the things that I'm not trying to wear anymore right now and thrift off, hop on over to my Depop. I'm sure you can find it some way, shape, or form. Just look up Liam Connerly or Mr. Liam Connerly. That's not many people have my name. Any overall goals for the new year? Currently survive. Currently just, you know, I'm taking it one day at a time right now. School's rough. New semester starting out rough already. Teachers are already feeling it. I'm feeling it. Goals as well, though. I'm currently applying to master's programs on the side for classics and linguistics. So that's a goal that I want to pursue. I want to travel. I don't know. These are all things that are, I don't think ahead. Like, people always ask me like, yo, when are your breaks, man, for like teaching and stuff like that? I'm like, I never know. I never know. I never look that far ahead. I take one day at a time. If I look forward towards something like that, then I'm actively looking forward to something while my present is passing me by. And I really need to focus on my present right now. I really do. It's something that I need to be very, very invested in my life. Each day at a time. Because right now it's really hard. And life is hard. Second question he asks is, have you seen Saltburn yet? I have not. I have heard that it is rather grotesque, and I don't know why, maybe I'm a little BITCH now or something like that, but I'm just not really into the grotesque stuff, you guys. I don't know. I can't do it anymore. I remember when I used to be a kid back in the day, like, yo, catch me outside with Fallout 3. Vats mode with the Bloody Mess perk, vatting only at the headshot. Headshot, 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 because I want to see some explosions and some guts and brains and all that stuff. I don't really want that anymore. I don't know what's changed in me about that, but maybe it's just getting older. Because I tried watching a movie that had been recommended to me called Midsommar, and I should have watched that during the day because it left me really disturbed at night and I couldn't really fall asleep. And then I was having like just weird ideations in my head as I was like looking up in the ceiling, and I'm like, So yeah, I'm not really looking to watch grotesque things. That being said, maybe I might entertain it with a friend or something like that. Any friends out there that want to watch it with me, hit me up. I don't know. Thanks again, Juan. Next one, Inez Velez. What's your favorite Latin saying? It's actually a quote from Virgil. I think that I've decided at this point. Fata viam invenient. Fata, F-A-T-A, viam, spelled V-I-A-M. Remember, V's are pronounced as W's. And then invenient. I-N-V, right? I-N, invenio. V-E-N-I-E-N-T. Fata viam invenient means the fates will find a way. I don't know. I think it's a beautiful sentiment. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But all things run its course. And what comes around goes around. And what efforts you make now will come around full in its fruits later on. Hopefully. Truthfully. Fata viam invenient. Next one. From my boy, Raga324. Or 324. This is one of my former students, by the way. Yo, homie G. I haven't seen you in a bit. I hope you're doing so, so, so well. Yeah. Anyways. Sorry. Jared, my homie. He says, "What's good, man?" A.K.A. WSG, my man. Dude, not much. I miss you. I hope you're doing super well. You've been shredding on the guitar, and I love it. You should try and do Tenacious D, the Pick of Destiny next. Just kidding. Get a 12-string guitar. Just kidding. I don't know. Anyways, dude, it's just good to hear from you. I always love hearing from you. And you were such an amazing student. Amidst a lot of the crap that I had to deal with at RMCA, you were, and your brother, your younger brother that I had for first period, y'all both are amazing kids, and I am just so proud of you guys, where you're at, and continue on with where you're at. I'm always rooting for you. I'm always rooting for all my homies out there. You know, I was just talking to another former student of mine, Taven, as well, hit me up about, he wants me to come to a lot of his motocross events and stuff like that. You know, I love to see my students thriving. And that's why I do this stuff, you know, to know that I'm making an impact and that at some point, maybe they won't actually have forgotten about me. Sometimes I think about how the reason why I am a teacher is because I do want to be that teacher that does make an impact on these kids. But then I think about how my instruction falls on deaf ears a lot of the time, and it frustrates me and it makes me sad. But then I know that I've got people like you, Jared, homies like you, that keep me going. And I want to say thank you. So thank you. Indigo Sparkle 08, easy book in Latin for beginners. Ooh, that's a really great question. There are quite a few. If for a beginner, I would not dive into Wheelock Latin by any means, but you have things like little teeny tiny books that will, it depends. Do you want to get into more grammatical or do you want to go more into conversational? You have Ecce Romani. You have the Cambridge Latin course. Those are all very, very, very stripped down. You have, you know, learning Latin for beginners. I have, oh my God, there is so many textbooks. I'm so sorry. This is a question that I could go off on, but also just do a little bit of research. Almighty Google can help you out big time here with this one. If you do want to do in terms of more grammatical, I would kind of look at WheelLock and you could take it more in a very, very slow, methodical way. Because the way he introduces concepts are very fast-paced. So if you just spend a long time on each chapter, I'm sure that that can help titrate it being less difficult. But that's up to you. You're the designer of your life and your universe, and you're the master of it. Next question here from a former high school classmate of mine who also has a podcast with his homie. I would love to actually be able to do a podcast at some point, Diego, because that would be amazing. And it means so much that you actually answered a question. The first part of this podcast does not pertain to you. That being said, Diego Romero, appreciate you, dude. I really do. I hope you're doing well. I continue to see you putting out content, fighting the good fight, putting in the reps, just like we always are. He asks, what motivates you to continue to create and educate? I feel like it's an obsession compulsion, to be honest. Sometimes I find that it's kind of embedded in my routine to the point where I gotta do it. I hold myself to it. It's almost like with people that I think about with the gym or with other aspects in their life where they're like, I gotta go, I gotta do that in order for myself to feel fulfilled through the day in another way other than just doing work kind of things. I realize that when I'm teaching, I'm not really making movements towards, and I'm not really doing a lot of brain gym myself. That's why I would love to teach at a higher level, is because I could challenge myself at teaching more heavier concepts, more nuanced concepts, and having an audience that is more receptive and wanting to hear those kinds of things and wanting to learn actively. And not having to repeat myself over and 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 over again. You guys don't understand how frustrating it is, man. Holy crap. I love kids, but repeating myself over and over again makes me really pissed off after a while. As it would for you too. Think about a conversation that you're having with someone. And they're not listening to you. Hello? Hello? Are you listening to me? Aren't those conversations frustrating? You're not hearing me. You're not seeing me. This is what I'm saying. You're not. It's frustrating. And then you repeat yourself. And then you continually. And then you're like, you know what? Screw it. But I also just love learning. And when I create and educate, I think I also in turn learn something new a lot of the time. Or some of my audience members teach me something new. Or my students sometimes teach me something new. Life is about learning and growing from said learning. And that's what I'm always trying to do. So I don't know. You know, I do the TikToks. I do my YouTubes. I do the podcast and whatnot. But yeah. A new connection that I made recently, another teacher, she teaches out in Oregon, I do believe. Correct me if I'm wrong, Kate, but I'm pretty sure that that's where you're at. She asks a really amazing question. Favorite / strangest language evolution? I imagine things got weird over the years. Absolutely. Well, one that I think is very interesting, actually, is the word girl. In fact, the word girl has really interesting history because it literally just meant a young person of either sex back in the day. In Middle English, girl was actually spelt gruel, G-U-R-L-E, which just referred to a young person regardless of that gender. Remember, gender comes from the Latin gens gentis, which means type or class. Or sometimes race, but really it's just a categorization. Gender was meant to be a categorization in the beginning times, in the before times. But now, as language has evolved, gender carries the connotation of also masculine and feminine. But in the past, it didn't. Of course, we did have masculine, feminine, and neuter in Latin, but it didn't always pertain to things that always were inherently masculine or feminine in quality, right? I mean, for instance, Latin, the word for table, mensa, is a feminine word. Nauta is a feminine-looking word, but it's masculine in nature that means sailor. How about another one? Athleta. Athleta means athlete. That is feminine in nature, feminine looking. It's a first declension feminine, but it's masculine in nature. All these words actually were just means of categorizing words into genders, into masculines, into feminines, and into neuters. Back in the day in Roman antiquity, there wasn't a lot of, you know, clear parameters between masculine and feminine. It was rather fluid, if you will. And so that's where we actually get the gender. Gender, honestly, correlates a lot with just what a declension is. Declension also is a means of categorizing a certain amount of words into one declension. And then when you open up into another declension, that opens you up into another set of a whole new vocabulary list. Vocabulary. There you go, Liam. And then, you know, third declension, fourth declension. It opens you up to more words. I know that the word silly used to mean happy or fortunate in Old English, and it underwent a shift in meaning over the centuries to convey a lack of good sense of judgment. But yeah, that's where we really get that. The word nice actually generally means pleasant or agreeable, but it has more complex origins from Middle English, where it originally meant foolish or ignorant, and then it kind of underwent a semantic shift to convey precision and delicacy, eventually kind of evolving into its current positive meaning of nice. But before, it just meant foolish or ignorant when you're nice. Sometimes when you're nice, you are foolish or ignorant, because when you're nice, you allow people to take advantage of you, and that's what happens. Here's one. How about cancer? Cancer actually comes from the Latin cancer, which means crab, which comes from the Greek carcinos, which also means crab, which is where we get carcinoma. Because back in the day, when Hippocrates was evaluating dead bodies, he saw the lump mass, the hard lumped masses called, well, cancers now. But for him, he called them carcinos because he had sussed out in his mind that these hard lumped masses either took the shape of a crab or they had the tenacity of a crab. As in, those people that died of cancer back in the day died of it. Or the people that got it died of it no matter what. They didn't have chemo. They didn't have interventions, medical interventions to get rid of it. So it was either the hard lump mass, like the shell of a crab, or the fact that whenever somebody got it, they were going to die no matter what. Sorry. All righty. Another one. How about that? Sinister. This will be my last one. Sorry. Kate, I'm doing a lot of them. Sinister, left hand. Dexter, right hand. Dexterous, we think about, like, what about like fantasy games and stuff like that? You can throw points into dexterity. Dexterity is also where you get ambidextrous, right? Ambi means on both sides. Dexterous means right hand. So if you are ambidextrous, you are actually right-handed on both sides, just like amphibian. Am on both sides, Bien comes from bios, which is life. If you are an amphibian, you are life on both sides, aka land and water. So if you are sinister, it originally meant left or left-handed in Latin, and then over time acquiring that negative connotation came to mean evil or threatening. But really, it was that people that wrote with their left hand were considered sinister. So if you guys have been ever told, don't write with your left hand, write with your right hand, that's where actually those superstitions come from. Thanks, Kate. Next one that I will get into here is going to be Abby Birdsong. Very, very awesome supporter. You've been supporting me for a long time. Thank you. You ask, what is a song that's deeply moved you lately? Well, while I was driving back down to Santa Fe to go visit my family, I was listening to the playlist that we all have, Discipulus et Omnibus. And Daniel Caesar's Japanese Denim came on and I started crying like a baby. So maybe that one. Because I just get moved viscerally by songs, but Daniel Caesar is one. Chloe, maybe you know, he's kind of R&B, right? Like kind of, he's rhythm. I love Daniel Caesar. Anything, honestly, like I listen to a lot of him and I will cry my eyes like a little baby. Also, just anything by Hers right now. But who else? I gotta think. Probably anything, or Heaven or Las Vegas by the Cocteau Twins. That very ethereal kind of music has been very, very visceral for me in general. And then songs that remind me of my childhood. These are going to sound kind of silly, but things that things I share with my brother that remind me of, like, you know, summers together, like Phoenix. 1901 came on and I was teleported back to another time period in my life. Please Go by Midas. If you guys know Midas, OG from me back in the day. Stardust by Minnesota. Old Cascade has been moving me lately. I know these are electronic music, but these are things that, oh, and also Crave You by Adventure Club. Or the remix by Adventure Club, the originals by Flight Facilities. It teleported me back to when, you know, like, I don't know, high school and college and being surrounded by live music and people I love. And also, let's see, I had a coworker message me. Avicii on Tuesday, I believe. Shout out Sean Stamper, my homie G. And RIP to Avicii, but that's somebody from back in the day for me for sure. So, I don't know. I kind of went into like a little bit of electronic genre realm, and I can bring it back. Oh, lots of Moby lately. I've been diving back into Moby. Porcelain by Moby. And yeah. Okay. I'm going to be done with that one though. Thanks again, Abby. Kalia, one of my OG supporters as well. Do you have a favorite Greek myth? I don't know. Madeline, I think I might be with you where it might be Orpheus and Eurydice because it shows the endeavors of humans and the mistakes that we make through curiosity, but the endeavors that we take in order to rectify those things through love, for the people that we love, to be reunited with the people that we love. Yeah, I remember. Because I remember reading Orpheus and Eurydice, the iteration by Virgil back in college, and that one was beautiful as well. Madeline Coffey, whom I haven't heard from in a long time, asks, marry me. Not sure if this is very real or not, but hey, you know what? I see you partnering up all over the place right now. Hey, if you can go ahead and lift me off of my full-time working schedule and fund my plane ticket to you and all that good stuff, and we can just party and be merry and all that great stuff, then yeah, hell yeah. Hit me up. Next one, VMX Key. What inspired you to do what you do now? Growing, learning, and continuing to grow through the learning process. I love teaching. I'm good at it. I'm really good at it. Unfortunately, I get punished for being good at it a lot of the time, just because of corporate and whatnot, and that, this and that and whatnot. But I never saw myself being a teacher, actually. No, not really. I never really knew what I wanted to be. I was fun declared for a long time. I was undeclared, and then I went. And then I started doing a lot of majors in my life that I thought would appease what people wanted me. I started doing things that I thought that people wanted me to do rather than what I wanted to do, what I thought was better for my soul. And I was doing things for other people in the image that they had garnered. Oh, you're a chemistry major? Wow. You know, getting those things, it's stupid. I'm so sick of the hierarchy of majors within college. Kesslozoya, I'm so sorry about mispronouncing, however it is for you. Ever think about moving to a different state or part of the country? Absolutely, 100%. I don't think I want to stay here in Colorado forever. I love it. It's great. I can't get behind this culture right now. I can't figure it out. Can't find my people. It's very hard to navigate. I don't know if it's just me. I don't know if it's post-COVID or not, but making friends as a 20-something while also working full-time and also just trying to feel grounded. I'm trying to, but it's hard. And when you work with all these people that are so much older than you and that are, you know, they have established families and these and that. And, you know, I don't have that. I can't relate to that. So, yeah. One of my other homies here working for Dior. How was your holiday? It was good. It was all right. It was needed, but not long enough. Thank you so much for asking. Next one. Well, I'll get into that one a little bit more. Let's see. I went and visited my family back in Santa Fe. My God, I love my parents so much. I just want to let them know. I love my sister too. I hope you feel that, Izzy. If you ever hear it. But you know, I hear you too, and I know where you're at. And I know that, you know, there are things within families that you need to really work through and you need to address and you need to kind of get past and such. And I must say that there was a lot of mending and there will be a lot of mending in the near future and in the coming futures to come, and such is life. I'm going to be really vague with that one. But it was really nice to be surrounded by the people I love. I miss them. I miss them. God, they're great. God, they're great. My parents are amazing. God, I love you guys. Kinsey Jordan asks, why did you decided to be a teacher? First off, Kinsey, Love the question. Let's go ahead and proofread before we actually, because you actually just did a pluperfect past, which doesn't work in this case. Did you decide it? This is why I teach Latin, is because I want to make sure that everybody in this world can command their language and can command it in a way where they are empowered by it. They can speak to highfalutin crowds. They can shoot the crap with their homie cheese. When you can command your language, when you can command yourself in this life, you are a powerhouse. You become more confident in yourself. I know that when I am given an interview, more often than not, I'm feeling like I already got the job because I know how to convey myself. I know how to manipulate my language in order to curtail and or make myself seem even more well-vetted than I am. I don't know. I'm no hack. I'm rocking awesome in whatever I do. But you know what? Language can help bolster you in that respect. And that's what Latin has done for me. That's why I decided to be a teacher. Among being that person that is the teacher that kids look back at me for and they're like, yeah, Mr. Connolly, he was the one that taught me about those things. He taught me how to actually turn an active sentence into a passive sentence, then back into an active sentence, because my English teacher never taught me how to do that. You know, these kinds of things. I don't know. Sorry, I'm not trying to throw shade at you, but always a means of growth, any way, shape, and form. I am water at this point. The amount of crap, the amount of mean things that middle schoolers have said to me, and or high schoolers too have said to me, and or done to me, you just have to take nothing personally anymore. And that's what one of the Four Noble Agreements says. If you have that book, or I'm not the Four Noble Agreements, it's just the Four Agreements. It's a small book. It's not super well written by any means, but I like the sentiments in each point. And one of them is just don't take anything personally. Really try not to, because really it's not, if you're taking it personally, it's a you thing. It's not a them thing. Hiar, I believe. I'm sorry. I don't know how to pronounce it. It's H_A_J_A_R. What was your reaction to going famous on TikTok? At first, completely overwhelmed. It was so gratifying. It was so rewarding. I felt like I had been finally lauded for all my hard work over such a long period of time that people actually still didn't see any. And then I started to see myself kind of becoming a performer. I had to check myself. I really had to check myself because after at the beginning, I started to see how people really, you know, they still weren't taking in my content. They were taking in my looks. And I started to go off on that, where I was like, all right, well, I'm going to, you know, kind of do my hair a little bit more for the videos and this and that. And I saw myself doing these things before videos in order to like look a little bit better. And then I had to check myself and I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. This is not me. And now I realize how a lot of these social media influencers are probably really depressed, because I feel like TikTok made me really depressed for a little bit. And frustrated at the world, because then I started to realize that people actually still aren't watching my content for the learning that I'm trying to imbue. They're still just watching it to say, oh my God, the curls or whatever, or this or that or whatever. It's all good. I don't care. I love it. Thank you for complimenting me. I'm glad that you appreciate my looks. I hope that it keeps you along so that you actually can learn something from me, because that's what I would like to be. I would like to be at least a vessel for, if you are like to look at me, then why don't you stick along a little bit more while looking at me, open up your ears and be a thoughtful listener, right? As if we were engaged in conversation, because I would feel very, very hurt if I was talking to you and you were listening to me zero. It's weird to feel so objectified on social media, but I'll be honest, you guys. Like, I was talking to one of my the individuals I tutor, and I've literally had people slide into my DMs on TikTok, and I don't mean to be crass about this. I just think that this is rather kind of gross. People will slide in my DMs and just be like, "Hey, can I buy a genitalia pic from you?" We'll do it in the most tasteful way possible. Yeah, we'll just do that, and then they'll throw their Snapchat down there and just be like, "Yeah, hit me up." And I'm like, "Oh my god, these people!" Or then like people just like that'll like slide into my DMs and. I don't know. It can be very, very, I understand what it feels like to just be recognized as a piece of meat. It sucks. Girls, I hear you. I feel you. That's why I don't want to be a performer, is because all these people that are social media influencers are performing for the image that they have acquired and that they conveyed to an audience. They have to look a certain way in order to garner certain things. I mean, certain people, like, I mean, this is what content is. I'm scrolling more on TikTok now because I'm not trying to spend so much time, you know, doing stupid stuff. So I'll just scroll randomly here or there now. I saw a guy had like over 500,000 likes on a video. And he was like, "Watch me as I rip my vape pen for a minute straight to see how high I get." I'm like, is this really? But hey, you know what? The more we watch something, the more the algorithm's going to continue to feed that kind of content. That's what the news is. That's what everything is. The more you input it, the more you give it the views, the more you give it the viewership, the more it's going to find its way into your peripheral and more into your kind of linear scope. So I don't know. But yeah, I had to check myself big time, big time. And I still do, because it frustrates me to know that that person will have made so much money on the fact that that person literally, and that's what they're doing. You know, it frustrates me. Like, I'll do, like, some people have seen on TikTok, like, I have a very largely liked video that took me like 10 seconds to make of me doing one of those car things. It's hard to explain. I was just messing around and I got like a 10 out of 10 or whatever, perfect score. I got more likes than that, than a lot of my lecture videos. And when I get more likes on one video than another video, I get paid more for that video. Not a lot by any means, but as you can see, if I'm getting paid more for a video that I have to put less effort into, isn't it all about working smarter, not harder? See how frustrating and or sad that can kind of sound? I don't know. Last one here. Tiff's Roots. Tiff's RRTS. What was a challenge you faced while learning Latin? By the way, love the vids. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. My challenge was that I sucked so bad at it at the beginning. It was a source of stress in my life. I had two panic attacks, very bad panic attacks, because of Latin back in the day. I didn't know what a panic attack was back in the day until it eventually happened. And then I was like, wow, well, gotta love that. And so Latin was one of those things where I just kind of had to continue to put in the reps and get small wins. And that's what Latin is in my class for my students. Confidence, building confidence. That's what instruction is. That's what learning is. That's what knowing things are. It's not about inherently knowing things. It's not about being inherently good at something. It's about building the confidence in order to know that you are capable of doing it, even though you thought that you couldn't before in the past. Now you can, because you proved to yourself through a roundabout way that you can do it. So many of my students are self-doubters. A lot of the time, I'll cold call on students. They'll be like, I don't know. And I'm like, sorry, that question just put you into a hole, or now we're going to have to work through it because I don't take that question. You know very well this question. So now we're going to have to work through this together because you're going to prove to yourself that you actually know it. And then we're going to reflect on that. And then you're going to see how silly you are for doubting yourself. We're all our own worst critics. And that's what I want to help people understand, is that we're all capable of putting in those reps, to reflect on those reps, to eventually get another step up, to level 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 up. Look at me. I've been putting a lot of my on those days 2 years ago and or a year ago out on TikTok. It's all about putting in the reps. It's all about continuing on, investing in yourself. And keeping going. With that being said, I'm going to leave it there. Thank you guys so much for all the questions. Again, consider what I said at the beginning of this episode. I don't put a paywall on these things. I just ask that you consider a little patronage, a little tip. Help me out. I have long commutes. I work overtime all the time. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. Help me out. Support me if you really want to support me. A little finance can always help and go a little bit further for me. Especially when I've explained to you guys about how awful we are paid as teachers here in Colorado. It's very enlightening, isn't it, when you guys watch my videos talking about teachers and teacher pay and teacher treatment and whatnot. I've been doing a lot more teacher advocacy on TikTok. You guys see, it just hurts my soul when I see paid professionals in their 60s having to live with roommates and having to live in, you know, apartments and this and that, and never being able to actually own something. And yeah. Anyways, thank you guys. Thank yourselves. Thank your brain, your body, your soul, your toes, your fingers. Wiggle your nose. And remember that you're the master of your own universe. Tempus est discedere.